Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Well, Terry, we got some stuff to talk about today, yes?
Well, I think so.
We better.
If we're not, why are we doing this?
That's right. I do believe we have stuff. One of the things, I read an article recently, and one of the things I thought would be cool to talk about is pretty common in a lot of doggy households, and that's when we open the door, our dog goes flying through it. Sometimes into the backyard, sometimes out toward the front where there might be a road and they might be in danger. And how do we go about stopping that? Ever happened to you?
Not recently, but it has, mm-hmm. Yes. We make our dogs sit and wait to go out.
And that's absolutely part of what we're going to talk about. It's the self-control piece. But dogs don't come with that.
No. I wish they had a switch. But.
Oh, man, don't we all? But then there would be no need for trainers. Okay, so here's the deal. We'll start with a scenario where you've opened the door going out to your backyard, and Fido goes flying out past you, and you don't want him outside for whatever reason. So instinctively, what do most humans do?
Scream at the dog.
And perhaps go try to catch the dog?
Oh, yeah. Of course, that's what they do.
How fun is that?
It's a new game.
Catch me if you can. 4-2, folks, every single time. It's very rare for a human to be able to catch a dog. It basically doesn't happen. So instead, I'm going to suggest some things that seem counterintuitive. But what I recommend is, if you want your dog inside, and this also applies if you've let your dog out to maybe potty and it's time for the dog to come back in, and dog doesn't come to you because the dog doesn't want to go in the house, okay? We have to make a game of it. Dogs love games.
Right.
So if your dog loves a squeaky toy, go grab a squeaky toy. Get yourself out in the yard with your dog and squeak, squeak, squeak. And now, hopefully, this will encourage your dog to come to you. Oh, we're going to play. Oh, we're going to play. They're all happy about it. You want them happy. You want to play maybe a little bit of a tug game. Maybe you have a tennis ball. Your dog loves tennis balls. Do a little retrieving with the dog. Make it a happy time. Basically, you get your dog happy. You now have the toy in your hand. Okay, let's go inside for a while now. Dog will more than likely follow you simply because you have the toy. So that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a dog who is very happily following alongside you, going back in the house where you want them in the first place. So the counterintuitive part is rewarding, not punishing. Believe me when I tell you, folks, if you do get your hands on your dog and you drag them bodily back into the house, are they ever going to want to come to you?
No. They're going to fear you. They won't know what's going on event-wise.
Right.
They're just going to fear you.
Right. It has nothing to do with them dashing through the door. It just has to do with mommy's being mean and making me stop all my fun play outside. So you don't want to reprimand them. You don't want to yell at them. And you don't even want to take them back inside immediately. Because like you just said, they don't know why you're doing it.
Right.
They just know for some reason they're being punished and all their happy stuff is ending. So, again, play with them, disconnect everything, make all the negative stuff stop, the negative stuff in your head, and then kind of lure them back into the house, make it a happy thing. What you can do, if depending on how your house is set up, you can create barriers around your door. One of the things that comes to mind is an X-pen. Those are the metal crate-like things that you put together and take apart, usually for keeping a small dog in one place.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And they can be 3 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet high, whatever.
Yeah.
You can get them at the big box stores.
Yeah.
But you can set one of those up so it's not closed in a circle, but you can kind of wrap it around the door so the dog can't easily access the door. And then you can open it up, go outside, your dog stays inside. It's just one option. It's not the best in the world because what we really want to do is train them. We really want to train the dogs to be polite at the door. For one thing, if your dog is not polite at the door, they can run you down. If you've got a large breed dog, they can trip you up and hurt you when you're trying to get out of the door and they want to go first.
Right.
So what you said at the beginning is what we like to teach our dogs. We like to teach them a sit, a wait, and then a release. And so that's back to obedience skills, guys. If your dog doesn't have those obedience skills, you teach them. You go to a class if you need to. So sit when you approach, have the dog sit when you approach the door. If you need to do this with a leash on the dog, do it with a leash on the dog. But you want that control piece here. And teach them wait. And wait simply means don't move until I tell you to move. I use wait before my dogs get out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
You can use wait if you crate your dogs. They wait before you let them out of the crate. Self-control piece. Teach them self-control. And then the release word. I use free. People use okay, whatever. But teach them a release word so they know when they're finished doing what you've asked. And if you teach those three pieces, you can totally eliminate that rushing the door piece.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing is, as with all behavior issues, make sure your dog's getting lots of exercise appropriate to your dog. Tired dog, good dog.
Exactly.
I think that it's significant that a dog who wants so badly to get out in the yard to play is probably not getting enough exercise, or they wouldn't want it so badly.
Right. I would agree with that.
And the other piece of it is it can revolve sometimes around separation anxiety. For example, if your dog rushes the door when you're going to leave for work, they don't want you to leave. So, right. Again, it's a training piece. It's making your leaving a happy thing, not an unhappy thing. So training, people. You can make this work for you and your dog. The way it looks at my house, I have two big Labrador retrievers, and I have a sliding glass door that goes out onto a deck to my fenced-in backyard. And when one of them really wants to go chase a squirrel in the backyard, we practice the drill. I will stand in front of the sliding glass door, have both dogs sit and wait. As I start to slide the slider, if one of them, usually the yellow one, Cody, who really wants the squirrel, if she breaks her weight, I just close the door again. You wait, girl, until I release you. When everybody's waiting like they're supposed to, I open the door full bore. I step back so they don't, yes, so they don't bodily hurt me, and then I release them, and everything works.
We have similar stuff here, and Surrey's better at waiting than Sparky, but Sparky's really learning.
Good.
He's there. But we do, sometimes it's just wait, so they can be standing waiting.
Right.
And sometimes sit wait,
right.
But there's always a wait.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're getting ready to release him, you need to get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sparky's like a rhino.
Yes, and my Murphy is like a tank, so I don't want them nailing us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been ran over by dogs before.
And it sometimes it's just not pretty.
Yeah.
And that self-control piece is really good at for steps as well, because that's a really easy place to get tripped up by dogs.
Yeah.
So we want that polite behavior.
Yeah, I think that the polite behavior is definitely is key. In so the one thing with having two dogs, because this, as you know, and some of our listeners probably know, this is the first time we've had two dogs, mm-hmm. but... Surrey's recall's gotten much better with Sparky because he has a great recall.
Ooh.
So now
sweet.
She gets it. And to get a recall, open the door sometimes is all it takes, and Sparky's up and moving. Sometimes it's a whistle because Surrey will be in the back of the mm-hmm. yard, but every time.
That's boom. Awesome, man. And that's the case always with two dogs. If you have one who is, for whatever reason, older or whatever, and they're better trained or they respond more to you than the other dog, yeah, dog number two always is trainable by dog number one.
they get it.
Take advantage of that, yes. Dogs as dog trainers.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, what else we got today?
Well, we have sort of an update. In episode 22, we talked about a water dish that I had that's a self-filling water dish.
Okay.
And I've been playing with that.
How's that going?
Well, the engineer in me says that there's some design flaws.
Alrighty. Like what?
Well, I took it apart because it wasn't really working like it was supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And where the hose goes into basically the fill mechanism, which has the float on it, like a toilet float is how it works, it's really not connected well in the pan. So if you tighten over tighten the hose, it turns it sideways, and the float's now sideways, so it never shuts off, which is what was happening with me. So I was thinking it was a problem with it being level, because it was not sitting on level ground. So I got mad yesterday, took it apart, and made a few modifications to it, so we're using it now correctly. Mm-hmm. But as a caveat to folks, if they get that and it won't shut off, that's what the problem is. It's you've over tightened the hose, it's turned the whole mechanism sideways.
Okay, so you have to adjust.
You have to adjust it, and I'm probably going to tweak it a little bit more as we go. It's a problem with the design. It's plastic parts internally, and it doesn't grab great when you go to tighten the hose. Okay. And if you know how hoses are, you put it on any nozzle, and you have to tighten kind of good to get it to stop leaking. So it's a problem with their design. That said, I haven't seen a lot of other options, so if you want a self-filling water dish,
give it a shot, but be aware that you might have to adjust that hose.
Yeah, and it's only three screws to take the top off then get in there, and you'll see. It's very obvious once you're in.
Well, cool. All right. And
we have sort of a new idea, concept.
Ooh, program. And this was Terry's, I got to tell you, and it's a really, really good idea.
Well, thank you. So the name of the program that Dee and I are starting is called Sponsor a Rescue. I'd forgotten it already. And Sponsor a Rescue came about from conversations we've been having with small rescue groups. And a lot of the small rescues in this economy are really struggling.
So these are like 1-2 person rescue groups,
right,
who are just doing the best they can to help dogs.
Right. And you typically have very limited funding, and what funding they did have is now dried up. So that, coupled with the fact that we're getting an abundance of people who want to be mentioned on the air, on Bark Radio, and have us promote their product, kind of put 2 and 2 together in my head and said, well, let's do something to help small rescues.
I'm liking it.
And as our listeners know, we do talk about products, but typically the products we talk about are stuff that we do use or going to use. Or something that's truly unique. So we don't take just, you know, generic XYZ product and talk about it.
Right.
That's a sponsorship type mechanism.
Right.
So what this is, how this works, and we're still fleshing out the details, but there's a website that will be going up called sponsorarescue.com. The details on how to be a participant, as far as if you are a manufacturer of a dog product or any product, frankly, and how to get involved in the program, and if you're a rescue and you want to sign up to be considered for those donations, there's a place there that will be there that you can also do that. The idea is there's different levels of packages, and if you have a dog product and you would like to get on Bark Radio, you make a tax deductible donation to one of these rescues.
So the money goes directly to the rescue.
To the rescues. We do not take anything out of it. We get confirmation that you've made the donation for XYZ package, rather. So there's package levels, and you can buy a certain amount of things. Once we have that confirmation, we'll talk to you, figure out how we're going to do what you want to talk about. Then we'll put it into our tool, and we'll have a Sponsor a Rescue segment in some of the episodes that we record. We may do some Twitters about your product. Again, this is all, and it'll all be tagged Sponsor a Rescue, and we have limitations and we have controls around that. You know, so Dee and I are definitely opinionated if you haven't gotten that yet. If we feel that you're selling an unsafe product, knowingly selling an unsafe product, we're not going to take you. If you have unethical practices, if you're a puppy mill, if you're, you know, dog fighting or dog racing or any of the stuff that we don't believe in, don't even bother, because you're not going to get on.
Right, because we will vet you before we we talk about you. So don't think we won't find out if you're a bad guy.
Yeah.
We will figure it out.
Yeah.
And you will get nothing from us.
Exactly.
Except perhaps a negative response on air.
Perhaps. It's
perhaps
been known to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the summary of what the program is. The website's not up yet, but it probably will be functional by the time this airs, which is going to be a couple weeks out. But it's a cool program, I think, and I think it gives people with good dog products that want to get reach our audience, a very targeted audience, an opportunity to get into that audience or into that market and help a rescue directly.
Yeah, I think it's a fabulous idea, because we're just sort of being the middle person. You know, all we're doing is trying to connect folks who have a bit of money with folks who have none, and it's all about the rescues.
Right.
And truly, folks, you know, $250 can make a big difference to these small rescue groups.
Yeah, it can make a night and day difference. Right. And if you look at what radio airtime or television airtime, it's very competitive for that.
Absolutely.
Plus, you've got a targeted audience. Right. Our people are animal people that listen to us.
Absolutely. So keep it in mind. We will let everyone know through Facebook and Twitter and our website when this becomes a reality.
Right.
And then we encourage you to consider, if you have a great product for dogs, getting
involved.
Or
cats. Or chickens.
Right.
We don't care.
Critters.
Critters, animals.
Yeah. Just consider getting involved.
Yeah.
And helping out the folks who need it so badly.
Yeah. Well, to me, it just makes sense. As one, they can write it off on their taxes,
mm-hmm.
because it's going direct to the charity. We
right.
don't touch it.
Right.
Two, they get advertising.
Right.
I mean,
it's a win-win.
It's
again.
Easy. This is an easy decision.
Right.
So
think about it, folks.
All right. I guess that's all we got today.
That'll do it. We'll see you next time.
See ya. Bye.